I'm Holly.
And I'm Haley.
Welcome to Mountain Mysteries, Tales from Appalachia.
Welcome back.
Well, hello. Hello. We made it another week.
We sure did.
Living it up.
Living the dream.
I say that all the time.
You do say that all the time. Oh, yeah,
living the dream.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Do you know that my son embarrassed the hell out of me?
No, I did not know.
I think that's what they're supposed to do. I think it's just a part of life, but... I had gotten a call that I was getting my taxes done, actually, and I got a call from his school. He had only been at school for about an hour and a half, and I got a call that he had had diarrhea, and that I needed to come and pick him up. And I was like, oh, all right. You know, you're like, I just have this one thing to do.
Yeah.
I just got to get these taxes done. So it's fine. So I came and I picked him up. And he gladly told me, I had diarrhea. And I was like, it's okay, buddy. And so we go back home. And he was kind of sick that day. But really, the diarrhea was gone within, you know, by 1 o'clock. He was up and around and saying, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
So he was fine. But the next day, he wasn't allowed to go back to school because he had had diarrhea. So he can't come back for about a month. So it feels like it. It feels like it.
24 hours?
So many rules with daycare. Yeah. And anyway, so he was home the next day and I had to run errands. And I was like, well, you're just going to have to go with mom and run these errands. And he was like, okay. And so I took him to the post office and it wasn't crazy crowded, but you know, there was quite a few people in there. And he had brought in one of his monster trucks, and he was, like, running around playing with the monster truck. And a man had come in to check his, like, P.O. box, and my son goes, last night I had diarrhea. And I was like, oh, my God. And he's loud. And so everybody heard him, of course. And the man, it goes, oh, did ya? And he goes, yeah, and it smelled so bad, but it's okay. I'm fine now. And let me tell you, I didn't realize that there was an employee in the back, and she comes out and looks, and we all just start laughing.
Oh.
We just started laughing. I mean, what can you say to that?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, he was talking about his diarrhea, and I was like, honey.
In the post office.
In the post office. So, like, after the fact, we started talking about, like, you know, should we announce to people just loudly in public about what's going on with our tummies? And he was like, eh. But then I thought about it. I'm sharing it on this platform.
I mean, yeah.
So I'm kind of doing the same thing that he's doing. So, hey, whatever. He had diarrhea last night.
Bless him.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
It was embarrassing.
Well, there's so much sickness going around right now.
There is so much sickness. Yes.
It's crazy. We've got some like crazy cases of flu out there. That flu B is really bad.
Yeah.
Like having a lot of people I've heard hospitalized with that.
But there are a lot of kids in a neighboring school that my son goes to that has had COVID.
Yeah.
A lot of COVID outbreaks.
Yeah. The school that I work in, we have a childcare facility inside of our school and it shut down for a few days due to COVID.
Wow. That's terrifying.
So it was like running rampant through. There I've had several of like my students have had, you know, stomach bug, COVID, and like part of my job is to be in charge of like, I'm in charge of attendance for the whole school.
I thought you were going to say cleaning it up.
No.
Jeez.
So I'm in charge of the attendance. So I kind of monitor, you know, and I'm keeping up with, you know, over 400 kids. So it's quite a bit to do. So I, you know, I'm looking through that, but thankfully I have like, it's set up to where it alerts me if I have a kid that's been out for 3 or more days consecutively. So I'm like, I can check on them. So I've made a ton of calls this week, just like checking on kids that hadn't been there in a few days. And like, I would say 90% of them were like, oh yeah, they're sick and have all this stuff going on, like respiratory infections. I had two out with that. I had one out with flu. I had, you know, some out with COVID, just like all this crazy stuff.
And is it like really their parents answering, or is it them answering saying, oh yes, poor little Stevie's out sick, and it's actually Stevie?
I can usually tell.
Oh, okay.
Pretty quickly, like who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's...
Has that happened?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's happened. Not really with me, more so with, like, them getting, like, friends or older siblings to call them out of school.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, that's happened before that we just, you know... And then, obviously, when you find out, there's pretty big consequences for that.
Because I'm sure.
Parents, because, I mean, they still get a call.
Yeah.
Like, if they get signed out early, they're marked absent for their, you know, second, third, fourth period class, whatever. And at the end of the day, that parent gets a call that says, little Susie was out, you know, was marked as absent.
Oh my gosh.
In second period, third period, fourth period. Aww. So they get a call. So it kind of rats them out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah.
And then the parents are like, what are you doing? You're pretending to be me.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I hear that.
So, but yeah, sickness is out there. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face.
Yes.
Don't lick the...
Well, please don't lick anything.
Anything, really.
Just keep your tongue in your mouth.
Yeah. Really, just don't lick anything. Don't do that.
I mean, whatever. You know, it's strange. Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah. Just, you know, surfaces, doorknobs.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't avoid have students that. Who are, like, licking doorknobs. But, I mean...
No, not at our the age that my kids are.
Yeah, I mean, at my son's age, probably.
Right. I did have a kid stick a fork in an outlet.
Oh, like, my fairly God. Fairly recently,
one of my seniors.
Senior. Great.
I just saw that referral. I just wanted to
see what would happen.
It's pretty much what it was. Like, I saw that referral come through, and it was the teacher that written it, like, in our system was like, you know, not really sure if this is a discipline issue, but... Just felt like I should put something on the record here. I just told him to go to the assistant principal's office and tell him what he had done.
Oh, my God.
And he did. He wants it. He's like...
I got a shock,
fork man. In the outlet. Like, I don't know.
Oh, did anything happen?
I don't think so. Okay. Oh, I don't know. Gosh. I didn't, like, follow up on it. But
he was like, but suddenly, you know, I feel really good.
Everybody seemed fine. Like, there was no, like, medical emergency call that went out or anything. Oh, my
gosh.
I'm assuming he's fine.
Kids do the stupidest crap.
They do. But they're, I mean, like, stuff like that. I mean, I'm cracking up.
You know, my senior year in high school, I got in trouble for forging my gym teacher's signature.
Oh.
I mean, that is a crime.
That is a crime.
But I did because I had a project to do in the library and they were making me go to gym. And I was like, listen, I don't think you understand. So the librarian was like, go get a note from your teacher that you can be up here. And I was like, she ain't going to go for that. So I took one of the hall passes and signed her name to it. So then she... The librarian calls down to the PE teacher and said, did you let Holly come up here? And she was like, what? No.
Dang.
Had to go to the assistant principal's office. And he was very like, look, you've never been in trouble. He was like, but they want me to make you an example. And I was like, why do I have to be the example? I'm a good kid. Sort of. And he was like, one day of in-school suspension. And I was like, oh, good. I can work on my project.
Oh, so win-win.
It was a win-win. Right. I was like, why didn't you just send me there anyway so that I could have done this? Like, you know, cut out the middleman.
Right. But yeah, just in-school suspension. Yeah. A whole day to do.
It was amazing.
What I need to do.
I got so much done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember going to my English teacher because that was who the project was for. And she was like, ISS, huh? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, well... At least you'll get the project done. And I was like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not actually upset about it.
I said, no, I can't be too sad. Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well.
Well, what's your story about today? Diarrhea?
Or no.
Forgery? Or
we're going to talk about a haunted location.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go to Hillsborough, North Carolina.
Oh, we know where that is. It is right outside of Raleigh.
Yeah. We have a good friend that. Is from there.
She's from there. She doesn't live there.
Yeah. Hillsborough, North Carolina. We're going to go to Poplar Hill.
Okay.
And it's a historic plantation house.
Oh, I don't like that. Great. That's not
history. No. But we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
So the home there on Poplar Hill, we're going to do like kind of a quick little summary here. Home was the center of a very large plantation, formerly called Okanichi Farm.
Okay.
There's a lot of double letters in there. Yep. Okanichi Farm and Banks of the Inno. You know?
I have no idea.
I don't know if there's a lot going on. It was established on farming and hunting grounds for the Okanichi and Saponi peoples, native peoples.
Gotcha.
The land was granted to colonist Francis Corbin by the English and then made into a working plantation. Ownership later passed to the Hogg family, H-O-G-G.
Okay.
Hogg family.
That's before a bad name.
The farm was purchased in 1891 by tobacco industrialist and white supremacist.
Oh, dear.
Julian Carr. Carr and his wife had the original 1794 plain farmhouse redone in that Greek Revival style that you see in a lot of old plantation houses.
Yes.
After Carr's death, the house was moved from its original location to a new lot in Hillsborough Historic District. So they picked the house up and moved it.
I actually really like when they do that. That's kind of cool.
I don't know if maybe not a plantation house.
Well, no, not that.
But
other houses
that's
cool.
Great. And like the lighthouse on the coast of North Carolina, they've done that.
I did not
know the original site, the Hatteras Island Lighthouse, they picked it up and they moved it inland because the tide was coming in and was going to wash it away.
Wow. So that's really cool.
They moved it back. It's very cool. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So Poplar Hill later became a rental property. And in the first 21st century, there were many tenants. It's
probably an Airbnb now.
Probably. Including the singer Tom Maxwell, have broken their leases due to reported hauntings on the property.
You can move it, but you can't move the ghost.
Right. All right.
Ooh.
So let's get into some more of the history there. Okay. So like I said, it was originally farming and hunting grounds for the Okanichi and Saponi people. The house itself was completed in 1794. On April 25th of 1891, the tobacco industrialist, white supremacist Julian Carr, he purchased all 663 acres of the property for a grand total of $10,000.
Wow.
Yep. From James Hogg and his sister.
I mean, I do that now. No problem. I'll get all those acres.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Carr and his wife, Nanny Graham was her name.
Yeah.
Nanny Graham Parrish Carr was actually her full name.
Nanny Graham.
First name was Nanny. N-A-N-N-I-E.
Is it short for like Nancy?
I think
or
it was just Nanny.
Nanny. All right.
Yep. So they named the main house Poplar Hill. The Carrs hired Jules Gilmore Corner to redecorate the house into that Greek style that we talked about. So it had a widow's walk, large front porch, colonnade, which is like an overhang almost.
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of if you've seen pictures of like old Southern plantation houses, they all kind of look the same.
Right.
It had a shallow balcony. He also put in French windows in the downstairs and created two formal entrances along the porch.
Wow, that's fancy.
Yeah. Poplar Hill was a secondary residence for the Carr family, whose main residence was in Somerset Villa, a large mansion in downtown Durham. So we're talking about money, but not even
that far away.
Right.
I mean,
if you're going to have a second home, go to like the beach or something.
Exactly. Why would you have a second home like 20 minutes away?
Right.
That's silly.
Yeah. So Julian Carr, who had immense wealth due to the success of the W.T. Blackwell and Company and Durham Cotton Manufacturing Company, sought to recreate the life of a gentleman farmer.
What is a gentleman farmer?
Somebody who owns a lot of other human beings.
who doesn't do any of the work himself and profits off of slave labor. Yes, yeah, cool. Yeah,
that's what he wanted.
What a gentleman.
Yeah. Mm. Carr developed the farm into a full-scale working farm with a large sheep barn, piggery, breeding pens, a full dairy barn with 56 stanchions, 5 poultry houses, which had over 15,000 chickens.
That's a lot of chickens.
And a 3-story barn with 36 stalls for horses and a basement for mules.
Oh, I had a little chicken and she wouldn't lay an eggs. Okay.
Yeah. Carr also constructed a 1/2-mile horse track on the southern banks of the Inno River, northeast from the farm building. So, huge property.
Has to be.
Lots of animals.
Well, it's over 600 acres.
Right, 663 acres. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. The farm was significantly damaged by a tornado.
Oh, I thought it was the move that happened.
No, tornado in 1919.
Okay.
And so although the house was relatively untouched by the storm, the farming business never fully recovered. And due to his declining health, Carr sold the property in the early 1920s.
Mm.
So Poplar Hill was advertised for sale on October 26th of 1923 in the Durham Morning Herald, which it was listed by the Carver Real Estate. Sounds fancy. It was advertised again on November 22nd of 1923 by the Atlantic Coast Realty Company based out of Winston-Salem. So already we're having problems selling this house.
Yeah, and we're pushing out a little bit because now we're trying to get people in Winston-Salem to come and buy it. So, yeah.
Shortly before Carr's death on April 29th of 1924, the property was divided into several smaller farms and was actually sold off in pieces. So that was probably an easier sell than a 663-acre plantation farm situation. In the 1940s, NASCAR founder William France purchased the horse track built by Carr and launched the Okanagan Speedway. So he turned the horse track into a speedway, which is kind of interesting.
I just feel like, yes. We had there's a, what used to be a little raceway in Asheville.
Yeah.
And I remember when it was a raceway, we'd hear it. But they turned it into a park.
Yeah.
And so what used to be the raceway became like a racetrack.
For bicycles.
Bikes, walk, run, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Interesting.
Clever.
In the 50s, there small farms that had once been part of the plantation were sold and developed into suburban neighborhoods, which happens a lot with farmland. In 1980, Poplar Hill was moved from its original location to the other side of the Inno River on the southern end of Cameron Street in the Hillsborough Historic District. And this happened by James Freeland, who did that.
Gotcha.
Freeland had planned to turn the house into a restaurant, but decided against it after facing opposition from Hillsborough residents. They were like, nah, maybe let's not eat in that place. Felt weird to them.
I can see that.
It's kind of like when people get married on plantations.
I don't like that.
It feels very uncomfy.
It feels uncomfy. It feels
disrespectful.
Very disrespectful, I think would be the term.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, not great.
I don't like cheersing champagne
in a place where
people were horrifically tortured.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Not really for me. No thanks.
Wow, sounds amazing. Can't wait.
Well, let me celebrate my love.
I won't be
here.
Celebrate my love.
In a place where people were owned.
Yeah. And abused,
sold, and
children.
Yeah,
that's disgusting. No, thanks.
No, hard pass.
Exactly. I mean
that.
I listen. Let's go to the Taco Bell.
Yeah,
like that's preferable,
right?
Let's go to the Taco Bell. Now, I don't. For I will wedding? Say.
Or to eat. Like, wait a minute.
Listen. If it's a choice of, we can have it at this plantation, or we can have it in the parking lot of the Taco Bell.
I'm going to pick the parking lot of the Taco Bell.
And afterward, we can split a gordita because they have gone up in price.
They have. They do have a fun little, box now that you can get.
I saw that.
It's like a deal box.
Yes.
And you get, 3 things for,
and a drink.
Yeah, for, $5.99.
Yeah. It is a good deal.
Wild.
But sometimes they're like, I'm sorry, we're out of the boxes. Yeah. I'm like, of course you are, because everybody's buying the boxes because everything else is hella expensive.
Yeah, because I don't can know. Actually feed myself and...
My groom
for $5.
Here's the problem. If they're out of boxes, we can't have the wedding in the parking lot, so we're going to have to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Maybe the gas station across the way.
You know, sometimes gas stations have really good hot dogs. So, I mean,
yeah, that's like a gamble in itself. I mean,
bad pork will set you back. Right. I mean, it really will make you
ill. It's either going to be the best thing or the worst thing you've had all day.
It is true. You know, there was a gas station when I was growing up, I was a kid, and we went through a period of like some money trouble, and my parents used to eat Blimpy Subs. We would go there and they had a gas station credit card.
Nice.
And it worked at the like Blimpy Sub place. And so I remember we ate those all the time. And I remember as a kid, I was like, do I have to eat this Blimpy Sub again? And then I remember eating fried chicken from a gas station. So we have a running joke in our family about, well, we could eat at the gas station.
I had gas station pizza the other day.
Was it good?
Excellent. Best pizza ever.
So, yeah, some of these, like, you know, the Buc-ee's and
Quick Trips. This is Hunt's Brothers from the show.
Yep. Yeah. They have some really good food. So, Excellent. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Big fan. Okay. Alrighty. We're going to keep rocking and rolling. Gas station it is. We'll be there.
Just plan. Do this.
So, we've moved this house into this historic district.
Right.
So Poplar Hill's new location. It was a few yards away from the site where 6 regulators were hanged in 1771 after being condemned by Richard Henderson. Poplar Hill then became a rental property.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so let's talk about...
It has a terrible history.
Yeah, like, it's bad.
All around is a bad history. Even
it's bad.
Where it moves to is a bad history.
Bad time. Yep.
You can't get rid of it.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the haunting. Because obviously a place like this has to be haunted.
Well, it has to be. I mean...
Like, you just... There's no
it's
way...
It's holding a lot of negative energy.
Exactly. So,
not like me.
Same. One of the renters, Thomas Maxwell, who is apparently a singer and songwriter.
Never heard of him, but
apparently he's a singer and songwriter.
Okay.
He lived there with his wife, and reports a lot of the happenings.
Mm.
So from Thomas Maxwell himself, I heard a car pull up. I heard wheels on the gravel driveway, and I heard the door open, the squeaky mudroom door, so I knew Brooke, who was his wife, was home. So I went downstairs to greet her, and no one was there. The car wasn't there, and the door was closed and locked.
Hmm.
So he's hearing this weird...
Hi, honey, I'm home.
Yeah.
And she's not.
She's not there.
Or she's screwing with him.
Right.
I would.
Same. his wife, Brooke, said figures would come from the chimney...
Like Santa?
I guess.
Ho, ho, ho!
That's spooky. she said, I would see this figure come out of the chimney, the firebox, and crawl across the floor and appear next to me in bed.
Santa's kinky.
God, can you imagine if someone just crawled out of your chimney right now and, like, sexily crawled towards you and, like, got in your bed?
I mean, as long as I'm in the mood, sure.
Okay.
I mean,
you know. I mean, they could have come through the front door, but.
I mean, that sounds better. Right. Like, he's now covered in soot.
Right, from your chimney.
From my chimney. Yeah. So I feel like maybe clean off first before you get in my white sheets.
Right. You have to sexily crawl to the shower.
For.
And then can sexily crawl out of the shower?
Sexily? Is that even a red term? No.
Yeah, sure it is.
So he. Now. Yeah, you got to shower first, but then I'm alarmed because then I hear of my shower going.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all in all, creepy as hell. But I mean, Santa's got to have some vices, some kinks. You know, maybe he visited that home and put some things under the Christmas tree and he said, hey, pretty lady, I'll be back. And then after the holidays, you know, there's a lull in January.
Yeah.
There's a lull. I mean, he probably is not making toys yet. So he's got some time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing leads to another. Bing, bang, boom. He's in that bed.
Alrighty. So this is sexy Santa, we've determined.
Well, he's the only figure that would come down the chimney.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really hear about ghosts and chimneys.
Not particularly, Bats, maybe? Bats, yeah. Maybe like a raccoon or something.
Oh, squirrels.
Squirrel.
Birds.
Yeah. Yeah. Rodent.
Rodent.
Yeah.
And Santa.
And Santa. Yeah. Maybe he comes with all of his critters, where they all just pile in.
That's a whole nother kink. That's a, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't want to get into animals. No. No, that's creepy. But yeah. Actually, the whole thing is creepy.
Right.
Even Santa.
Yeah.
Like, all of it's creepy.
That's not great.
Ho, ho, ho.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So here's another story from Tom.
Great.
He says, I'm facing the house. Behind me is a circular driveway that goes around the house, and I look over to my right, and moving like a spinning top is a cylindrical shadow tapered at both ends. So I don't know what that would be.
I have no idea.
But he's just like something is spinning like towards him. Almost sounds like UFO-like a little bit.
It does.
It's weird. Brooke says, this bottle went flying off the shelf and it broke all over the floor. We both saw it happen. It wasn't like it fell down. It actually shot across the room.
It shot like across it the room?
Flew off the shelf.
God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There are other people who have said that they also see and feel things when they visit the home, like their relatives. The couple said, you know, it was validating because of the shared experience. Obviously, you can corroborate what's just happened and it makes you feel less crazy.
Yeah.
The Maxwells say they didn't really talk about what they were seeing or feeling during their time at the home. And Brooke said, with the frequency in which it happened, it would just be annoying at some point to keep saying, did you see that? Did you see that? Like, so things were happening all the time.
Oh, my god!
So they just, like, kind of, you know, got used to it, I guess.
Maybe start talking to them?
Yeah.
Like, hey, we want to go to bed. Like, just, I'm not in the mood. Tell Santa to, like, stay in the chimney.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it.
However,
ho, ho, ho. Sorry.
Jesus. So apparently things were getting a little more intense on the property.
Apparently.
They're getting a little out of hand.
Christmas!
So the landlord let them out of their lease early.
Thank God. Actually. Well, he knew. Yeah. He knew what was up.
So Tom said, you know, when we left the house, it was shut the door and literally never go back.
Yeah.
Like, it was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Brooke said, we didn't know any of the history of the house when we lived there. So now that we know about it, it's easy to go back and try to make that narrative make sense.
Mm, yeah.
You know, like, but like going into that blind.
Oh my gosh.
That's kind of crazy.
I mean, you never expect to see cylindrical objects flying, things flying across the room. When you rent a house, you think, oh, we signed a lease. You know, we're going to rent a house for a year. We're going to, you know, live, do our thing, and then, like, move on. Not a big deal. You don't tend to think that there are other people living in your house.
Right.
Ghosts. You don't think that, like, you know, someone wants to come from the chimney and get freaky with you.
Right.
That wouldn't be my first thought when I rented a house.
No, it would not be mine either.
Like, when you rented your place, were you thinking, ah, yes, someone wants to get saucy with me?
No, I did have the question of ghosts just because it's, you know, older. It's an older house.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe.
Would that have excited you if it had ghosts, or would you have been like, no, no thanks?
I think I'd have been here for it.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Saucy.
Yeah, I think I'd have been like, yeah, let's see what happens. It'll be fine.
Not in the mood.
Not tonight.
I have a headache.
I have a headache.
That's the old standard, right? No, absolutely. Santa, I have
I'm
a headache.
So sorry. No, thank you. Saint Nick. So I'm trying to find, and I thought I had saved it earlier, like some of the lyrics to the song. So he wrote a song about his experiences there. Okay. Tom Maxwell did. And I'm trying to find, I swear, because I read the lyrics, and I just want to see if I can find them again. If there were any of them still in here. Nope. Okay. Well, do you want to tell us how they can get in contact with us? Because that's all I got.
That's the funniest thing ever.
Sorry. Okay. Well, while you do that, maybe I'll find the lyrics.
Okay. Kay. Sure. I'm still thinking about creepy, kinky Santa.
Yeah? Okay.
She's judging me. Just as she should. Bit. As she should. Listen, she's the one who was there for the ghost, and she didn't care what the ghost did to her.
It's fine.
She has boundaries, which is good. It's good.
It's fine.
If you want to email Haley and find out more information about her or me, God bless you, you can reach us at Mountain Mysteries. No, that's not it. Sorry.
It's fine.
Do you want to time it?
Sure.
Sorry.
I wasn't really paying attention to you. Great. I was trying to find these.
I'll just start over.
It's fine. Notes are freaking out.
Who's freaking out?
Me.
Sorry.
No, my notes are.
If you would like to get in touch with us, tell us your ghost stories, tell us anything that happened to you, or if you like to get freaky with Santa, maybe keep that to yourself.
Maybe keep anyway, that to yourself.
Anyway, you can email us by going to mountainmysteries.appalachian@gmail.com.
We're going to get it. You got it. You can try got again? It. Go for it.
mountainmysteries.appalachian@gmail.com. Beautiful. You can find us on Facebook at Mountain Mysteries Tales from Appalachia. You can find us on Instagram at mountainmysteries.appalachia, and find us on Patreon for more of this amazing content. patreon.com/mountainmysteries. Did you find the song?
I didn't find the song per se, but there is, and I read through a lot of this.
I got
this.
My guitar out. I was ready.
I read through a lot of this already. So if you want to like see kind of a like short story-esque type reading of this story, like it's very interesting.
Interesting.
Look at thebittersoutherner.com, and it's called We Salted Nanny.
What?
It's a real life Southern ghost story. By the stories by Tom Maxwell. We Salted Nanny.
It almost sounded like we assaulted her.
No, we salted. Like salted.
To like get rid of her spirit.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. We Salted Nanny.
Yeah.
Kinky. She probably liked it.
Probably.
Ooh, nanny.
Yeah, so it's pretty pretty wild, like, this little story. But I definitely recommend it because it's told in such, like, a unique way. Like, it switches back and forth between the history and, like, their experiences, like, the present day experience. So it'll go from, like, 1865 to 2015 back to, like, 1978.
Oh my gosh.
Like that, and then to 2015. Like, you know, it just kind of go back and forth through there. But it also gets into a lot of the other things that happened at the house before they lived there. Some of the more like, and things that aren't really like well talked about. Or really well recorded, so I didn't put them in here just because, you know, I don't know how much of this that he wrote is his experience and how much is fiction. And
well, and I'm so curious.
It's really interesting to read.
you know, have there ever been Ghostbusters that have gone to this house?
Oh, probably. I'm sure it's been on several things. Ghost I didn't Hunters see any, or something. Like, reference to it anywhere.
Should we go there?
We absolutely should.
We could visit our friend in the process.
Absolutely.
I'm sure she would enjoy.
Go. Yeah. I do want to say, though, that the name of the band that the guy was a part of was the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
I mean, I feel like we could start a band in a very similar fashion.
Yeah. So just, you know, there's layers on layers here.
Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Squirrel Nut Zippers. Layers on layers on layers of that.
My son did ask me recently if squirrels had testicles.
Some do.
The boys do.
Yeah.
He asked to see pictures.
Of squirrel testicles?
Yes.
Okay.
We Googled it. We were shocked.
Now you're going to be on a list of something.
Well, I mean, you know, it's part of nature.
It is.
I mean, you could look at a squirrel and say, wow, look at those, that nutsack.
Yeah, he could.
You know, and we were both impressed.
I mean, if you can see that from a distance, though, that's a well-endowed squirrel.
They were pretty impressive. Yeah. I was like, whoa.
It's a lot.
Alrighty. Small penises, though, but
yeah, well,
no, you can't have it all, really.
Can't have it all. Well, since Holly told you how to get in touch with us, I'll find us a location. Sort of. So she tried really hard.
Listen, y'all, it's like 10:45.
I know, it's wild. Yeah, I gotta go. Gotta go home. Let's see. Let's go. Wow, there's a lot of these I can't pronounce.
Let's go to one that Haley can read.
Yeah, that's.
Is there anything with two letters?
No.
Okay.
Let's do St. John's, which is in Newfoundland and Labrador.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Canada.
Eh. Okay. Well,
you sounded this more was like fun. Rihanna.
It's too late at night. Okay.
All right. All right. We will catch you next week. Bye. Hopefully. Bye.